Achanan believed that it didn't matter that everyone went to live in Israel. Israel would be a place where intellectuals, elites, would go to settle to create the model Jewish society and culture. They, in turn, would radiate through their writings and teachings and influence a proper impact on the larger cultures of diaspora Jews wherever they are. So here was a Zionist who did not call for a mass immigration. In fact, he was against the idea that if all masses went, it would not be this elitist society that he was proposing. To create a cultural center meant it had to be created by elites. And therefore, everyone would gain from it ultimately, but not everyone would live there. Moreover, instead of mass immigration, the autonomous Jewish culture, as I said, would be able to influence the larger world. A kind of wheel with spokes, or a kind of center with spokes that go out. And therefore, here is a kind of symbiotic relationship between Jewish culture in the diaspora, which exists and flourishes on account of the fact that it is being inspired and influenced by the central culture in the land of Israel. Ultimately, this would solve the problem of Judaism, and that the lifeless entity of Jewish culture in the diaspora, that culture that had been mocked and repudiated by the Maskilim and by the Zionist thinkers, would now take on a new life because the land and the cultural conditions of that new society would infuse it with new energy and new vitality. The spiritual center of Israel would then nourish the Jews of the diaspora by providing a direction and inspiration for their Jewish strivings. Again, we have here, although we are speaking about the spirit of Israel and the spirit of Judaism, we are speaking about a secular definition of Judaism. Where is all of this coming from? Ahad Ha'am, in his writing, is very reminiscent of a thinker we've already talked about, and that is Luzzatto. You recall that Luzzatto had a great deal of difficulty with 19th century nationalisms rooted in power, with a 19th century world of praising the Greeks and Greek culture, which he called Atticism. In a similar way, Ahad Ha'am repudiates the negative side of 19th century nationalism, essentially the nationalisms that he saw in Germany or Austro-Hungary, which, as he saw, were powerful entities with strong military backing. He believed that the unique genius of the Jewish people was its hatred of the sword for the book, its alienation from power politics. Here is a cultured figure, a cultural intellectual, sitting in Russia, seeing the world around him, seeing the wars and the hatred and the hostility, wanting to create some kind of intellectual, spiritual utopia. Jews read books, they don't use swords. Clearly, what we said just a minute ago about the notion of the Jew as a fighter, that was something that was clearly repugnant to Ahad Ha'am. Maybe you would argue unrealistic, given the realities that Jews were to face from as soon as they came to Israel in terms of defending their own interests. But clearly for Ahad Ha'am, the spiritual cultural was all that really interested him. At the same time, he was an agnostic who could not utter the name of God. He was uncomfortable going into a synagogue. He spoke instead about moral and spiritual power. In other words, he created his own language, which was not religious, but it was spiritual. He struggles with the problem of denying God, yet he affirms chosenness. The Jewish people are chosen. They are singled out to be the moral leader of the world. Their spiritual legacy is what will have an impact upon the culture as a whole. However, not coming from God. In other words, a loyalty to a spirit which he could never precisely define. And of course, here is the problem with Ahad Ha'am as a theologian. What do you mean, the spirit of Judaism? What is so special? Why do you define it? Why can you not use the word religion or God or prayer? What have Jews been doing for 2,000 years? But Ahad Ha'am is uncomfortable with that notion. He is a secular person. So he speaks about spirituality in other terms. I wonder if we have any other analogies with our own society of people who speak about spirituality and about ecology and about the spirit of the earth and so on, but also find it very difficult to use the word God or to evoke a traditional language of liturgy, which of course is part of the arsenal of Jewish culture for so many hundreds of years.